This podcast brought to you by Hope 103.2.
You've written a new book, which is you've called a prequel to The Reason for God. It's called Making Sense of God, An Invitation to the Skeptical. What inspired you to write a book like this?
Well, I found that when I gave the book Reason for God to people, which is a kind of traditional, rational case for Christianity. Mm. I realized that it takes a lot to read a book like that. You've got to be motivated. And so why would you explore and take the time to explore whether Christianity makes rational sense or not when it doesn't make intellectual or cultural sense to you? That is, why explore whether it's true when you say, I don't even care if it's true because it's irrelevant, because I don't see it being of any use to me. I don't see it being of any facility or use in our society. I have no motivation to even find out whether it's true or not because I don't care. Mm. So I found that unless people saw that it made emotional and cultural sense, that it provided things that they were looking for better than the alternatives, that doesn't prove it's true, but it gets you to the place where you're motivated to find out whether it is true or not. So I felt like I needed, before people would pick up a book like Reason for God, to ask, is Christianity true? They have to be in a position where they would think it would be great if it was true. Mm. And that's what Making Sense of God is about. It's more about whether Christianity makes emotional and cultural sense and tries to bring people to the place where they actually say, yeah, you know, it would be worth my time to explore whether it makes intellectual, rational sense, whether it's true.
Do you think skepticism is a good thing, a helpful or useful thing?
Yeah, basically. I mean, there's the skepticism that gets you deeper in. I mean, I've seen people who are maybe emotionally distraught embrace Christianity without any skepticism about it at all. They just need something. And so you talked about Christianity. Yes, I need that. And you want to say, well, how do you know it's true? Why don't you be more skeptical? Why don't you push back? No, I need that. And very often after their problems are over, Christianity isn't very real to them because they weren't skeptical enough when they came in. They didn't really ask the hard questions and, you know, to determine whether or not this is really true. So they never really got convinced. They just wanted something in their life. Mm. There's a skepticism that leads you to ask good questions and probe, and finally, when you do embrace Christianity, you really, really, you've got a certainty and an assurance about it. There's a skepticism, however, that actually is a way of keeping yourself from asking the right questions. There's a kind of skepticism that really is trying to protect yourself from the possibility of Christianity being true. So if your skepticism embraces the possibility that Christianity is true, that's fine, because it'll actually help you in the long run. If there's a skepticism that's trying to essentially protect yourself from it, so you start so skeptical, I don't even have to think about it, I don't even have to explore it, then that's bad.
What's your personal experience of skepticism? Have you been a bit of a skeptic over the years?
Well, number one, of course, like most college students, though I grew up in a Lutheran church. Mm-hmm. I'm old enough that back when I was growing up, virtually everybody grew up in a church or synagogue. Almost everybody. And then lots and lots of people of my age, I'm a baby boomer, we call it. I don't know whether you use that term in Australia.
Yeah, we do. Yep.
Most people, the baby boomers, went off to college and a big percentage of them kind of lost their faith. And I was one of those that was saying, I don't know if it's true. And I experienced a lot of doubt and skepticism. But by the end of college, I had embraced Christianity for real. And I think over the years, frankly, I am a skeptical person. Some people would say that's why I'm a Presbyterian, meaning I tend to be skeptical of claims of miracles, even though I believe in that miracles happen and God does miracles. Mm-hmm. I just tend to be more skeptical in general, and therefore I'm actually pretty sympathetic to non-Christians who have a lot of questions about Christianity. I remember doubt, and I'm kind of skeptical too, so I actually am pretty sympathetic to skeptics.
You've said in this book, and I quote you, Jesus himself is the main argument for why we should believe Christianity. We've all got friends and family who just have no interest in Jesus. So what kinds of changes do you think need to happen amongst Christians in order to reach our skeptical friends?
Oh, that's a good question. I actually do think, well, you have to be more Christ-like if you're going to get people to want to know about Christ, period. And I would say that in general, I think it's fair to say in general, that in Western societies, and I would, you know, count, you know, United States, Canada, and Australia, and Europe as Western societies, I would say the fact that generally Christianity is receding, the number of people who say they're Christians is receding, the number of people going to church is you know, declining. I think that's got to be some indictment of us. It has to be. It has to be that either both as individuals and as a community, we're not showing forth Christ-likeness. We're not consistently Christ-like, and I think we have to take some of that blame. So that's the change that has to be made.
If someone's listening to this interview now who is a skeptic and is just starting to get curious perhaps about Jesus, what would you recommend that they read to get to know him a little bit better?
Well, you know, I would recommend John Dixon's book, A Spectator's Guide to Jesus.
In fact,
who's, by the way, amazing American recommending a book by an Australian.
Yeah.
It can happen. There we go. Even though I think the book is actually a British publisher. But anyway, it works. John comes right out, of course, starts off by saying, yeah, look, I'm a Christian minister. But he works extremely hard to just give the facts as much as you possibly can. Here's what we know about Jesus. Here's what he was like. Here's what he taught and that sort of thing. And it's a remarkably objective book. So he's not constantly trying to be an advocacy, saying Christians are right and everybody else is wrong. It just sort of lifts Jesus up, and it's mighty good. In fact, actually, it's one of the few books I recommend at the end of my Making Sense of God book.
Ah, great.
I would recommend that book, frankly, very highly.